We sang the whole story here this morning so far. I have a hard time imagining what it must have been like for those disciples, for the friends of Jesus, for the family of Jesus, for those he touched and healed miraculously. What it was like within the last 3 days, they watched the one they come to know and to love, the one they spent every day for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year with their Savior to be. And what they must have felt and what they saw in the agony in their hearts when they watched him being rejected, they watched him being denied, they participated in that, they watched him betrayed, they watched him tried and unfairly executed. They found that watching him being whipped and beaten to the edge of his life, that's how good the Romans could do that, and then hung on the cross. Why? To them, that meant such pain. They were losing the greatest one they'd ever been around. How could they live from this day on? He was everything. All their hopes and all their dreams and everything they were about was from him. Now, he's gone. They killed him. And it was such an issue to the chief priests and the scribes that they literally said to, they went to the king and said, hey, he's going to leave. They might steal his body because he said he's going to get resurrected. And they might steal his body, so could you send some guards there to make sure he stays in that tomb? Dead. The Lamb of God was on that cross for a reason, to take away the sin of the whole world. That God so loved his son that he gave this son, his only begotten son, that those who could believe in him would never perish. And that God didn't send his son to condemn anyone, but that the world through him would be saved. Saved. So when he hung on that cross, there were many things going on with the Roman soldiers, with his family, who couldn't believe what they were watching and seeing, but something was taking place at that time with him and his father. It comes to a point in the crucifixion that Jesus speaks two prophetic words from the book of Psalms, of which you can look at later on, chapter 22. It's right there. The words that he spoke on the cross, two of them were in the book of Psalms. 33 prophecies at the moment of time with Jesus dying on that cross and what was coming on Sunday were now being fulfilled. 33 prophecies in the Old Testament spoke about this moment, that moment when he would be there. That's amazing when you read and study and think about that. This wasn't just fortunate. This wasn't they got lucky. This was a plan. And so when Jesus was on that cross, he and Father, something was happening. And in there he said a couple things, simple things that we're going to just, I just want to let you be aware of what he said. Father, why have you abandoned me? See, that's the literal Aramaic of what's the translation. Why have you abandoned me? He was, at that moment, feeling and experiencing everything that mankind knows prior to having Christ as their Savior, being lost and alone. He was carrying all that you were and are on him. And he sensed in that place of death being abandoned. But at the moment of that old thing, he looks and he says, it's finished. The book of Psalms says that, it prophesies that he will complete the task. He will complete it. And when he said it's finished, he meant it. It was done. There was nothing more to do for that time, except one thing yet. One thing. Because see, at that point, if he would have been placed in that grave with everything that happened and all the things he ever did and all the teachings he ever gave and everything else, if he would have been just left in that grave, he'd have been no more than a good teacher and a great martyr. However, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who is crucified. He's not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come, come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you this." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Imagine what that, I can't even imagine what that's like, what that would have been like to know that he was in that grave, the tomb was sealed. An angel came, rolled away, and when they went to see the tomb, his body was empty. My parents passed away, I can go to a graveyard, and I can stand there and memorialize them and think about things that we've all had in life. But this was so different because he came out of that grave alive. And that resurrection experience was the fact that death, which was a representation of sin, and the penalty of sin, and the punishment of sin, and justice being admitted on those who have sinned, now was becoming the one who was received as the price was paid to be resurrected, to come out of the grave. He was the risen one. And I want to read to you some verses from Hebrews, bringing this to a conclusion. We don't usually think of the book of Hebrews as a passage to read when we're ready to have communion. But in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, we read these words. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body." What that means is in the temple, there was the Holy of Holies. There was this massive, massive curtain that hung there beyond anything men could basically carry. It took a group of people just to carry that thing. And it was so heavy, and it was a tapestry. And that's where it was. And when Jesus died on that cross, that tapestry ripped apart in front of everybody. Why? Because God said, now the Holy of Holies, which was only for the priests at that day. And the priest that even went in there, if you went in there unqualified, unprepared, you'd be struck dead. That's why priests wore bells on the bottom of their robes, because the people could know that the guy's okay. If this bell stopped ringing, he's dead. Nobody could go in there. And yet God ripped it open. And when he ripped it open, he said, come. You come now into my presence. And that's what Hebrews is saying. You can now come with confidence, not trepidation, not wondering, ooh, maybe I can or can't, but with confidence by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, that's him, let us draw near to God with sincere hearts and with a full assurance that faith brings and what it brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. You can have a free guilty conscience. Having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us then hold unswerving to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another. Here's the one another. What you're doing here today is not just an individual experience for you. It has to do with all of us too, one another. How to spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This experience we're going to do right now is nothing to be but an encouragement, a time of restoring any hope that you may need, a time of helping you to see a future that you may not have, but a time to realize that God is a God of plans. And his plans, he has plans for not just his son and what he did, but he has plans for all mankind. And as you've received Christ into your life, you begin to walk into that divine plan that he's had established. When we take communion, and I want to do this right now, that anyone is invited to partake of these elements of the bread and the cup. But the invitation that God gives you to take these is that something has happened in your life. And what has happened is that you've realized without Jesus, you're a sinner. You're a sinner destined to eternity in damnation. But with Jesus Christ and what he's done and what all we sang about this morning, he is the Savior that you can invite into your life. And when you invite Christ into your life, he becomes living in you. And you are born again, and you are saved. If you're here this morning, and you've never accepted Christ, if you never said, Jesus, come into my heart, and the heart is the core of your whole being, come into my life, I'm going to invite you to do that. I'm going to pause for a moment, and then I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you're here with that uncertainty about your salvation, if you're here and realizing, maybe I can't, should I do this or should I not? You can be sure today that as you pray this prayer with me, that you are receiving Christ, and everyone who has ever prayed this prayer, and everyone who's ever received Jesus, is welcome to the table of the Lord to take these elements. And so if you're here today, and you don't know Christ as your Savior, and it doesn't matter if you're 85 years old or 8 years old, if Jesus is speaking to your heart, I just ask you, all you have to do is say, Jesus, come into my heart. I know that I'm a sinner. I fail so much. But I thank you that you died on that cross and you came out of the grave alive, that you paid a price and you gave your life for me. And Jesus, come into my heart. I want you to be my Savior, and I want you to be the Lord of my life. And if you prayed that, Christ just entered your life. And you're a new person. And you're different. And you will come to know what that is about. What we're going to do here during the communion service, and I invite anyone who would want to take of these elements, something just a little different. In a few moments, I'm going to sit down. The servers are going to come. And as they come up here now, they're going to come to you and pass the bread. As it comes, you just take it. I'm not going to say any more. I'm not going to say any more words of take, eat, or drink. I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit move in your hearts while this is happening. So they're going to come up. They're going to take this bread. They're going to pass it by, pass it around. You may take it and eat it. And then comes time for the cup. They're going to come and take the cup and give it to you. After you drink of the cup, there's little cup holders there in the chairs that you can find. The power of what's about to happen is what you're going to be listening to and then participating in with these elements of communion. So, Father, bless these elements. The Bible tells us, Lord, that Jesus lifted them up and prayed and blessed them. So, Lord, I thank you so very, very much. Bless this moment to restore any joy that's missing, to bring about hope again, to bring about the strength of knowing you are with us and you will not leave us. And that's why you brought these elements. For as often as we're now ready to do this, we're doing it in remembrance of you, you who have loved us and gave your life for me and for all of us. In Jesus, we pray. Okay.